You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will welcome in Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch, who announced last week he will not seek another term in the state legislature. But first, Bill Martins joins me because this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, and we have a very special challenge grant going on during this hour. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great discussions. You count on the State Capitol Report for the latest in state politics. So now is a good time to help support this show, this service, with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, this is a big hour. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500 still in effect, so there's still room for your pledge. It's a great time to do that because for every dollar you give, some generous anonymous donors will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this show, you hear multiple sides of an issue, so you can make up your own mind, and you can count on hearing a fair, inclusive conversation. Together, we keep up with the issues of the day, and we have some fun. We also follow our curiosity, and we learn.
There's really nothing else like this on the radio. Your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. The single biggest piece of our funding is listener support. Make your pledge during this, our fall membership drive, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the radio programs you count on.
All right, we just wanted to remind you that we have this dollar-for-dollar grant, matching grant, going on right now, up to $5,500, so your pledge is doubled. Whatever your pledge is, whether it's whether it's $5 or $50 or $500, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bill, we'll let you go, and we'll talk to you a little bit later on. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk in this half of our State Capitol Report about State Senator Bob Jauch's recent decision to retire. He will not run for re-election next year, and we will find out why. Senator Jauch has represented the people of northwestern Wisconsin for more than 30 years, but he says he's calling it quits, in part because representative democracy is on life support. We will welcome your questions and your comments for Senator Jauch at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Bob Jauch is a Democratic state senator from Poplar in northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and thank you very much for having me on.
Well, I appreciate it. Yes.
Wisconsin Public Radio is one of Wisconsin's greatest assets, and I applaud you and all of the staff at WPR for the quality programming and the listeners who so enjoy being a part of Wisconsin. KUWS up in Superior and enables people in northern Wisconsin to be connected likewise. So add 100 from me to your donor list, and I'll call after the show.
Oh, that is so kind of you, Senator Jauch. We are thrilled to have you on the air, and we would like to ask you, though, why you decided to not seek re-election.
Well, it's a combination of factors. First and foremost, I've been in this job for 31 years, living the furthest from Madison with the largest district. I've traveled over 750,000 miles, traveling into the most contentious issues in Madison in those 30 years, really been at the center of most every one of them, bookended by spearfishing, that violent spearfishing, where Wisconsin looked more like Mississippi in the 80s and 90s to the volatile mining bill, where Wisconsin also looked like Mississippi. The fact of the matter is that I look at the state of Wisconsin politics, and I just concluded that I just don't have the energy left. I don't know, I have another 125,000 miles left in my tank, This is a five-year commitment I have to make to run for office this next 15 months and then 4 years thereafter. I just wasn't convinced that I could maintain that level of commitment, energy, to meet the standards I've maintained and the expectations the public has a right to have. Yeah.
You said that the last couple of years have put a bad taste in your mouth. Is the partisan divide in Wisconsin, in the state legislature, a part of the reason why you're gonna retire?
Well, as I said in the release, and you said, our representative democracy is really on life support, and I fear that our democratic process is on life support. It's at real risk. I come from a tradition of good government. I come from a district where people are grounded. They have live with a sense of purpose to community, to help others, and believe in their schools. They really want to be part of helping their community grow. They work together, and they want a legislature to legislators to work together regardless of party. Today, extremism and desire to win at all costs are honored far above the art of compromise and the art of governing. I think the legislature has lost its bearings, particularly in the last 4 years, where moderation has completely been suffocated by those who seek to win at any cost. And it makes good government nearly impossible. And so it's certainly that is an observation that I think is shared by people across this state who see Wisconsin acting too much like too much or worse than Washington on steroids.
What are you hoping to accomplish in the 15 months left in your term?
Well, I think the most important thing for Senator Cullen and I to do is try to raise the bar in this democratic process, raise the standard of debate, and encourage not only our colleagues to work hard towards solving issues of substance rather than salivating for political gain. I think the second thing is to encourage the public to realize that there is a role of citizenship that they must exercise if the will of the people is going to be the law of the land. I think really what's being lost by this political battle in rugby match in our state capitals is the public confidence in a government that belongs to them, not to these, to me, who serves. And I think it's very important that they realize their civic duty, not just to vote, but every day to be informed and engaged rather than inflamed and enraged. We've got too much emotion driving our debate today, and we need more fact-based, and we need citizens, editorial writers, and others insisting that we put our desires to win at any cost in the next election aside and try to figure out what is right and what is best.
It was just a few weeks ago, Senator Jeff, that we had Senator Cullen on this show talking about his decision not to run for re-election as well. Neither of you are in any risk of losing your seat to a Republican challenger, are you?
No, I don't think we made our decision because we were worried about our own personal interest. I think we made our decision in part or mostly in part because Wisconsin seems to be losing its way and the institution certainly has lost its bearings. Both of us are former leaders. Tim was a majority leader. I was a minority leader. And both of us have this same common commitment, as does Dale Schultz. And I think a few other members, but very few in the legislature, have this love of the institution. When I was the political leader, I would often begin a speech by shocking people with the statement that, as surprising as this sounds, we have a responsibility as public officials to do more than worry about our reelection. We're caretakers of a public trust. We have to find ways to act in a way in which the public, because it is their government, believes in the process, not just in those individuals they elect to the process. We are state lawmakers, not just those representing our geographical boundaries. And one of the things that's broken, and Senator Cullen and Senator Schultz have taken a lead to try to encourage the public to insist on a new way of writing our geographical boundaries, because gerrymandering has essentially created partisan fiefdoms. in which the Republican legislators don't have to worry about what the general public thinks. They just have to worry about their political base. You lose sense of the diversity of the people of Wisconsin. Their voice is lost. And you have a legislature that's disconnected because they don't want them, they don't care about the average person.
There are rumors that Senator Schultz might not run again, and if that's true, then the three of you who have often worked together are all out of the picture. Would that be a loss for Wisconsin, Senator Jones?
Well, first of all, I think that what the three of us have done is really tried to elevate the responsibility of elected officials to act more like statesmen who see their role is maintaining their responsibility to their basic philosophical principles, but at the same time recognizing we have a higher purpose, and that is to solve problems. See, what, instead of hammering each other, why don't we hammer out differences? Instead of trying to prove that one side is right all of the time and the other side is wrong, try to find ways to identify problems that matter to the people of Wisconsin and then come up with common sense solutions. It wasn't that long ago that that's the way that the legislature worked when Senator Schultz, Senator Cohen, and I were there. And I remember a time, for example, when Walter John Chilson, representing the Wausau area, minority member of finance, had at least a dozen amendments on a budget that were adopted by the committee. He had more amendments than most of us on that committee. We didn't condemn him. He voted against the budget. We understood that he had a responsibility to his party and caucus, but also had a responsibility to his district, and we didn't punish that. And today, Republican minority members are lucky if they get an amendment adopted.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the proposed iron ore mine in your district. Recently, it was reported that high concentrations of asbestos-like fibers were found in the rock at the mine site. What does this mean?
Well, I'm not a geologist, but when you talk about grunerite and the kind of grunerite, there's good grunerite and bad grunerite. Apparently, this is bad grunerite. Contains these very dangerous asbestos-like fibers that are very small, and they were the same kind, apparently, that were found in taconite tailings that ended up in Lake Superior. Decades ago, Minnesota decided, in order to permit the reserve mining company's mine on the North Shore, that it was okay for them to dump taconite tailings into Lake Superior, and it just saved them money, it's convenient for them, and it wasn't going to do any harm. They were dumping 65,000 tons a day of taconite tailings into Lake Superior until the 80s, when they discovered asbestos in the drinking water and along the shores of Minnesota. Completely rebuild their water filtration systems. A part of a 25-mile radius is contaminated near there. And that's been found up in the Pinokies. Now, I'm not smart enough to know exactly what it means, but this is what I do understand, and that is the company in August said it wasn't there. This company has been demonstrating level of incompetence and incompetence throughout the last 3.5 years. I think they've been more interested in focusing on getting the regulations passed, so it might be easier in their mind to get the mine built, and paying less attention to the resource. Now that they're paying attention to the resource, I think this issue is raising a very serious concern about their credibility and the project, and the fact that they are now attacking the geologist for his political views, a geologist who, by the way, didn't even do the analysis of the rock. It tells me that there's something serious there, and they'll do anything they can to create victims to try to protect their own interests.
We had a Facebook listener who is pro-mine, who wants to thank you for your service, but says that the absence of your efforts to against this much-needed responsible economic development will allow us to move forward. What's your response to that?
Well, I appreciate the tone of the inquiry. We didn't have a lot of that in the last 3 years on that issue. People blasted us because we were raising legitimate questions. I think the key is responsible, and I didn't oppose mining in general. Our job as state lawmakers was, if you believe in responsible mining, and there's an argument about that, but if you believe in responsible mining, you have to have a responsible mining law, and it should not be one that is written by and for the mining company. British Petroleum would never be allowed to write deep water drilling regulations in the Gulf, and this company should have never had the power it had to essentially dictate many of the terms and veto some they didn't like of the eventual mining bill. So that was my first and foremost concern. Second of all, it was the manner in which the company was coming into the district and showing so little respect to the citizens who lived there, basically resisting efforts by local units of government to create zoning, which is totally appropriate and necessary to protect the interest of the public. And then finally, showing absolute no sympathy and respect for the citizens, the taxpayers of the district or Wisconsin, in that manner in which they continue to push for a tax system that will deprive citizens of getting some of the resources as a result of the mining activity. So there were a host of issues that we were trying to talk about that didn't have anything to do with whether there'd be a job created from this mine project. It was that we didn't like the fact that this company seemed incompetent, uncaring, and insensitive to any public interest. Mining companies have a habit of doing that, and whether the individual wants jobs or not, he really ought to reflect on the behavior of this company and others, and perhaps realize that and be as critical of them as I and others, because they simply have been reckless.
Let me ask you about a current issue in the news, the $100 million property tax cut that Governor Walker and GOP legislators unveiled last week. Is that good for Wisconsin or not?
Well, it's a stop. The fact of the matter is that we attempted in the budget, by the way, it's a SOP timed very interestingly with 2 days after Governor Walker, Mary Burke, announced her candidacy to run against him. So I think on its face people can see what it is. Second of all, we need to recognize that that will be one of this tax, quote-unquote tax cut. Don't spend your $10 that you'll get over the year too quickly. And it is going to, the fact is that we tried during the budget, instead of having the income tax cut, to put that money into property tax relief, and they resisted that. If the governor, I think, is putting this together simply for a political statement, in the end, we'll see what the formula looks like, by the way. I like equalization. I don't know whether the Republican majority will accept where the money goes because they tend to want to put it in the property tax credit program. There are many school districts that don't get equalization aid, so it'll be very interesting to see in the end whether or not there are many dollars that really get to the taxpayers that they'll notice.
Well, I wish we had more time, Senator Jelk. We're shortened segments here because of our pledge drive. But let me ask you before you go, what's your biggest hope for the state of Wisconsin and our politics?
Well, I always see the glass as half full, as difficult as it's been. Hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites love this state, love its traditions, love the example we have set in government policy, in which we take care of our citizens, which we have a good clean environment, in which we have a good educational system to truly give every citizen a chance to achieve their promise and move Wisconsin forward together. We've always been a state that believes that we all have a common shared responsibility to enjoy the prosperity for all. And I'm hopeful that this tide is going to turn, that the public will insist on a government that functions in a way in which we can do achieve the common good.
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm sure we will speak again before your term is over. We appreciate your time. Bob Jauch is a Democratic state senator from Poplar. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. This is the fall pledge drive on Wisconsin Public Radio. And good news, Bill.
Very good news. That $5,500 challenge grant that was in effect this hour, well, it did its job because we have way surpassed that by, looks like, quite a bit amount, quite a bit there. More than $7,300, I think, raised this hour. So that's great news. So thank you to all of you who've made that pledge. And, of course, thank you to our anonymous donors who offered to match those pledge donations. Doesn't mean our work is done by any means. You can still get your pledge in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help ensure that programs like the Joy Cardine Show remain well-funded and strong.
Well, it's really it's gratifying to see that kind of support come through. It's wonderful that we exceeded our goal for the last hour. It helps make up when we fall a little bit short. So keep on making your pledges to Wisconsin Public Radio and help pay for the bills. Help pay for the programs that you value with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'll just mention this added incentive for your pledge of at least $15 a month. You can ask for the WPR stainless steel travel mug by Clean Canteen. So it'll keep your coffee nice and hot and you'll look good drinking from it as well. So you can make that pledge again for $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, at Wisconsin Public Radio, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill Martins, and thank you for your support.